Bible reading today is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
Thanks, Michonne, for bringing that reading. If you have a Bible, you can keep that Bible reading open in front of you, whether a physical Bible or a device that you might have. Before we come to God's Word, allow me to pray and commit this time to God. Heavenly Father, we ask you to now please help us to understand these words as we spend the next few minutes thinking about it, meditating on it. And Lord, may you speak and enlighten. Not just that, Father, please give us the ability through your Spirit to obey and to live the way you want us to live. And we ask this, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you remember the gifts that you received when you were really young? Maybe about 3 or 4 or 5. Now, I remember one of the gifts that I received. It came up in a fancy box, not this one, but similar to this. But I remember this very well, and you will know why I remember this very well. It was my 4th birthday. I received this box very nicely wrapped. And it didn't take long for me to rip the cover open and see what is inside. And what was inside was a toy car. And this was the very first battery-operated toy that I've ever received. And it had yellow and red colors and flashy lights and a fancy horn. And I loved it. I loved playing with it for the first few days, and then a few days later, without my parents' knowledge, I took this toy to my preschool. I put it in my bag, I took it to the preschool, and you could imagine, right? My friends and I had a ball. We were playing with it, each one taking a turn, until one of my friends, accidentally, he stepped on this. And you could imagine the horror, the heart-sinking feeling in me. Not just to see that my beloved brand-new toy in pieces, but to think about what's going to happen when I go home. What am I going to tell my parents? And needless to say that I was duly punished for not looking after the gift that I had received. Now, this morning, we dedicated Lily. And as we did that, we were reminded that children are a gift from God, not only to the parents, but also to the church. One day, we will have to give account to God for them. As with every good gift that we have received from God, We must be good stewards of this gift of the next generation. And if you're listening to the reading this morning, we find back in the book of Deuteronomy, God was concerned of the godliness of the next generations. After wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, Israel is about to enter the promised land. They are about to cross the river Jordan and enter the promised land. And in verses 1 to 3, Moses basically says, God wants not just you, the adults, this current generation. No, God wants your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren to enjoy life. He wants everything to go well for them. He wants them to increase and thrive in the promised land. And the only thing that will guarantee their well-being, their prosperity, their long life is their godliness. Living according to the ways of God. If you noticed in that reading, these words were not spoken to a group of pastors or church leaders. It was not written to missionaries. It was not written to Bible college students or just a few individuals. No, this was written to the whole community. It was written to the whole community. Because the responsibility of raising the next generation falls into the hands of the whole community. We parents, grandparents, aunties and uncles and members in the church, we are all responsible for raising godly generations. How do we do that? And that's what I'm going to spend the next little while unpacking from this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verses 4 to 9. I want to give us four tips to do that. The first thing Moses tells the people of Israel is to hear. Hear. When they go into the promised land, there'll be lots of voices. They'll be confronted with all sorts of gods and religions and idols and customs and new ideas and all sorts of opinions. So Moses says in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." What is he saying here? When you live in the promised land, there's one thing that you need to know and know clearly. That there is only one true God. The Creator God, the God who brought you out of Egypt, your covenant God. And how do you know this God? Hear, listen, pay careful attention to God's word. We can't know God, friends, by a mystical experience. We can't know him by sitting in a lecture room of a philosophy lecturer. We can't know him by sitting in a science classroom or putting a formula into the computer. We can only know this eternal Creator God through his written word. It is in the Bible, friends, that we get to know the truth about who God is, his nature, his character, his power, his love, his will. Because he himself, the Bible says, inspired the word of God. So, church, do we want to raise godly generations in this noisy world? Then we must ourselves first put ourselves in a place where we can hear the word of God, the truth about God. It may mean that we be a part of a Bible believing, a church where the Bible is preached clearly and applied into their lives. may mean to be part of a Bible study group. Get hold of a Bible and do our own personal Bible readings and devotions. I know for parents with little kids, this is hard. Sleepless nights and disrupted routines and work and cleaning, and you are tired and busy. Well, I don't have a special pill to give you, except to encourage you to find the best time and the energy to spend time in God's Word. You might have to be a bit creative. Plan yourself ahead, sharing the load with other family members, taking turns. And although it is not ideal, thanks to COVID, there are a lot of online options today, isn't it? But the key is that we must take time to hear God's Word. And when we do that, we are in a position to let our children be in a position to hear God's Word. It may mean teaching them the Scriptures on your own, sending them to Sunday school or Scripture classes, sending them to youth group or kids clubs or Bible study groups, so that they have the opportunity to hear the truth about God. And the second tip that Moses gives us in this passage is kind of flows from knowing God well. It is to love. Love God. Verse 5 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. It is a love that permeates every aspect of our life, isn't it? Our whole being, heart, soul, and strength. Which means, friends, Christianity is not primarily about rituals or keeping laws or going to church every Sunday and being religious. No, Christianity is primarily about a relationship with God, with this true God. It is a relationship that will grow us and that will help us grow in godliness. In John chapter 15 in the New Testament, Jesus describes this relationship as a branch staying connected to its vine. He said, a branch cannot bear fruit unless it is connected to the vine. Do we want to raise godly generations, church? Then we must first grow in godliness. And the only way that we can do that is by having a healthy, growing relationship with God. Well, this morning, if you have a relationship with God, fantastic. Keep growing. Keep growing in that relationship. And this morning, if you find yourself, you kind of lapse in your relationship with God, fallen back, well, today is a perfect day, isn't it? To get back and restore your relationship back with God. And if you don't have a relationship with God this morning, again, today would be a perfect day to come into a relationship with God. The Bible says all of us have disobeyed God and turned away from Him. We are all born with our relationship with God broken. But because of God's great love for us, He did something, friends, to fix that broken relationship with Him. He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die on a cross to take the punishment, the penalty that our sins deserve, our disobedience deserve. And the Bible now says, if you believe in His death and the resurrection, if you repent of your sins, if you turn away from your disobedient ways and turn to God, and if you believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus, God now forgives your disobedience. And He restores our relationship with Him. And those who believe in Jesus, they are now called sons and daughters of God. We are children of God. And if you want to do that this morning, I'm happy to chat to you after the service. this morning. Because this is one of the things that we are responsible for about the next generation. Helping them to come into a relationship with God. Not to force them, but to encourage them, to give them every opportunity to hear about God's love for them, what God has done for them, so that they may make their own choice, decision to love God and to have a relationship with Him through Jesus. And we can do that well, friends, as adults, when we have a relationship with God, don't we? And the third tip that we find in these verses is it flows from knowing God, loving God, is to obey God wholeheartedly. Moses says, "These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts." The very first commandments that were given to Moses or to the people were written on stone tablets. And here Moses says, well, don't leave them in the stone tablets. It's no good in the stone tablets. And bring it to your heart. What is he talking about? He's talking about heart obedience. Because we can do external obedience, right? We can do all sorts of rituals and all sorts of things outwardly. That was what the Pharisees were doing, and they were condemned by Jesus for doing that. They even tied their table spices. And Jesus says, well, you are far from God. You worship me with your lips. It's a call for heart obedience. It's a call to put the word of God in your heart, so that it will transform the way we live, the way we speak, the way we think, our attitudes, that there's a difference in the way we operate. It's a call not to obey God because of guilt, not to obey God because of an obligation. Not to obey God or to impress others, but doing it with joy and gratitude. And today we can all act like Pharisees, can't we? When we do all our religious work, religious deeds on a Sunday morning and the rest of the week, we don't live a Christian life. There's no prayer life, there's no repentance, there's no fruit of the Spirit, there's no love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, godliness, self-control, and gentleness. But then we bring out the rules, don't we? We are a Christian family, we need to do all these things, but love, joy, peace, patience, that's okay, we can just leave them behind. Remember Jesus said in John chapter 14, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Our love for God will show up in our obedience. Again, church, do we want to raise godly generations? We must hear God, we must love God, and we must obey God from our hearts. And when we do, it will be a great witness to the next generations. Which brings us to our last point. Modeling godliness. Modeling godliness to the next generation. Look at verse 7. NIV has the word impress. But it also can be translated as teach diligently to your children. Which means we are called to teach our children the truth about God, that there is only one true God. We must teach children to love God with their whole heart. We must teach children to obey God from their hearts. And how do we do that? Verse 7. There's a whole lot of things that we could do, isn't it? Talk about them when you sit at home, when you're walking along the road. when you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads and write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. What is he saying? Do you want the next generation to be godly? Then teach godliness by being good role models, by modeling godliness to the next generations. Let your faith begin at home. Let your faith be seen at home. I remember my encouragement to pray came from my father, who knelt before the bed every night. Whatever day he had, he prayed. Now he's 86, and he can't kneel, but he still prays. He reads the word in the morning and prays, and he gets my sister around, and then he prays with her. Don't leave your faith at home. Take it with you when you are on the road, driving, walking, at the shops, when you are going on holidays, to the workplace, when you do business. Take your faith with you. When you're out with the kids, look for teaching opportunities. I mean, there are so many teaching opportunities. Sunrises, sunsets, flowers, and angry people at shopping malls. To teach patience, to teach love, to teach kindness, to teach about creation, this creator God. I remember a couple of weeks ago, we were at IKEA having dinner. They're good meatballs. And there was this a family, a couple who came and sat next to us with their little baby. And we prayed and we were eating. And then and we suddenly heard this couple actually holding hands with their little baby, this toddler, and praying before the meal. And I was like, wow, that is amazing. In a public place, teaching the kids to pray. It's impressive, isn't it? Binding them on your foreheads and your arms, it's not saying, well, plaster stickers on your hands and forehead. I mean, yes, the religious leaders of the day, even today, they do that, isn't it? They have these small boxes on their foreheads, and they kind of have scripture on flowing on their garments. They took that literally, but what Moses is trying to say is, may your faith in God, your love for God, be visible to the next generation. Do you believe in God? Do you believe that God can heal? May your prayers be visible to your children. Do you believe that God can provide? May your trust in God be visible. In the book of James, he picks up this idea, isn't it? He says, faith without works is dead, just as a body without spirit is dead. Do I have that verse up here? Show them that godly living is normal for every Christian. Godly living is normal for every Christian. So friends, this morning we were reminded, isn't it? The children, the next generation is a gift from God, not only to the parents, but also to the whole church. And we are given the responsibility of raising the next generation to be godly. And God calls us to do this by taking responsibility for ourselves, isn't it? To hear Him, to love Him, to obey Him, and to model godliness. All what we've heard this morning is Moses asking the people of Israel to to take responsibility for their own godliness. Because out of that will flow the godliness of the next generation. We're going to spend some time in prayer, and after that we're going to sing a song. But I want you to take a moment to just think about what you've heard. Maybe some of you are thinking, oh man, I've stuffed this up big time as a parent. My time has gone. But that's where forgiveness and repentance and forgiveness is there. You can start wherever you are now. So take a moment to think about what you've heard, and then I'll lead us in a prayer at the end. Okay, let's do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, Father, for reminding us that you are not just concerned of this generation, but, Father, the generations to come. And we thank you for the gift of the next generation, the little ones, the children who are growing up. And thank you, Father, Lord, that you have given us, the church, together with the parents, the responsibility to grow this next generation into a godly generation. So we pray, Heavenly Father, as we do that, help us to hear you clearly and know you truly. Help us to love you from our heart, from our whole body, from our whole being. And help us to obey you from our heart, not just outward appearances of obedience. And this morning, help us, Lord, as adults, as parents, as uncles and aunties and grandparents, help us to model godliness to the next generation. And we pray, Heavenly Father, please bless them and watch over them so that, Father, as they grow, they will continue to be godly men and women in this society. And we ask this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.